You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Good morning. God is good all the time, all the time. It is a good day today, I want to tell you that, and some good things are in store. In just a moment, we're going to continue our series that we began last week, but first of all, I want to do something important with you. My name's Andrew, one of the pastors on staff here, and a few months ago, I was meeting, we have a group of pastors and leaders that meet every month called the Christian Leaders Network, and one of the members, this is probably 4 months ago, one of the members said, hey, why don't we take some time in this new year, coordinate as churches across Kings County, and take a Sunday and pray for our law enforcement. And I just thought, when he said that, I thought, you know, there's something right about that, because as a church and as the people of God, what we are to do at all times is to be a blessing to our community. And we are commanded in Scripture that we're the way to do that, the primary way to do that is to pray. And it actually says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I don't have this up on the screen, it says, this is Paul speaking, and he says, I urge you to pray for all people. If you're a follower of Christ, one of your main jobs is to pray for people. You pray for the people that you like, and you pray for the people that you don't like. You pray for the people that you agree with, and you pray for the people that you don't agree with. You pray for the people that you think are crazy, right? I mean, you pray for everybody. That is one of the main jobs that we are to have as Christians. And I think one of the things that we struggle with oftentimes is prayer. So one of the things that we're dedicated this year, this pastor is dedicated to, is that we're going to grow as a church in prayer in this year. And so he says, listen, what you're supposed to do is pray for all people. He says, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. It doesn't say give thanks for them if you like them or if you agree with them. It simply says give thanks for them. He says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. And so we want to take a few minutes this morning, and we want to pray specifically for our law enforcement within this county. And this morning in our first service, we were visited by our Kings County Sheriff, Dave Robinson, and had an opportunity for him to stand and as the representative for all of our law enforcement within this county. We're talking about the sheriff, talking about the PDs in Hanford, Lemoore, and Avenal, and Corcoran, and just the investigative bureau that's part of the DA's office. We want to pray for everybody that's in corrections, all of those this morning, because we know that they do a difficult job, and they're faced many times with really tough things. I was contacted a couple of weeks ago by the man who is in charge of the Bureau of Investigation for our district attorney's office, and he wants to begin a chaplain program within that office simply because he realizes the incredible stress and weight that their entire staff is under. The things that sometimes they have to look at, investigate, are just so very difficult. And he's a man of faith, and he just said, man, I just want to be a blessing to this staff. And so there is a need within our community for us to love and pray for the men and women who really are giving their lives to protect and love on this community. So I'm going to ask one of our church members, Nathan Ferrier, to come up. He's a sergeant in the Kings County Sheriff's Department, and he's going to stand up here, and in a moment I'm going to have everyone that's involved in corrections and law enforcement to stand as we pray for you. But I'm going to have Nate come up, first of all, because he's a handsome young man. He looks good standing up here. But everybody say hey to Nate. Would you put your hands together for him? Isn't he a good guy?
Good morning.
Now, Nathan, I appreciate, number one, you helped set up this morning, the sheriff coming in, which was a blessing. And one of the things that our Kings County Sheriff has done is he really has made it easy for us to do ministry in the jail. And he recounted the story, which I was planning on telling, but he beat me to the punch of a couple of years ago when he just really made it possible for us to go in and do a baptism or a couple of baptisms in the Kings County Jail. And so we took a horse trough in and we dunked him. It was just so awesome. And that's the kind of heart that he has. It's a heart for the community. So one of the things I asked him, I'm going to ask you, Nathan, is just tell us, how can we be praying for law enforcement? What's the right things? What's the needs that are going on that we can be aware of?
Sure. First of all, thank you to Andrew Cromwell, pastor here, and Koinonia Church. You guys have been awesome. We're so fortunate in law enforcement to live and work in Kings County. This community has always been very supportive in all the years I've been doing this job. This county has always loved us and supported us, and we're very grateful for that. As far as prayer, obviously health, protection would be huge, but also discernment and wisdom. This job requires an enormous amount of wisdom to deal with the various situations that we do. And so that would be huge for us. Yeah. And then also, Sheriff Robinson mentioned this in first service. Former Sheriff Ken Marvin, many of you probably remember him. He just recently had a lung transplant. I was chatting with his wife the other night. He's doing well. He was never a smoker. It's just one of those things that happens in life. He's in recovery. But if you guys could pray for a full recovery and that the body would accept the lung, that would also be huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to do that. And we do love you guys and appreciate you and all the men and women that are serving. And so if you are part of law enforcement community, maybe your sheriffs or police department, or you're in corrections, would you stand please right now so that we can also pray for you? Anybody hear this? Yep. We see that. Anybody else? Yes, yes, yes. But please stand. I know that over this last couple of years, it has not. Stay standing, please. Stay standing, guys. We're going to pray for you. Right. So we're going to embarrass you for just a second. It has not been an easy thing to be in law enforcement over the last couple of years. There's been a kind of a critique and microscope that's been put on you guys and your what you do, and we just want you to know that we are going to pray for you as a church, and we're believing that God is going to sustain, support, encourage. He's going to protect your families. He's going to be with you. We're asking God that He would bless you guys, even as you have been a blessing to us. And so, if you would, guys, just extend your hands. Maybe someone's right next close to you. You might put a hand on their shoulder, and let's just pray as a church. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We thank you, God, for the men and women who really are giving themselves to protect this county, and we're praying right now, Lord, for strength and for wisdom and for blessing upon their lives. Lord, they are faced with so many difficult situations. Emotions are high at times. They're faced with things that they never expected or anticipated, and it's not an easy thing that they're being asked to do. And so, God, we're just praying that you would give them, wherever they're at in the four corners of this county, wisdom, that you'd give them emotional strength and support. We pray for the officers and their families, Lord, that have faced things that have been so difficult. They've been scarred and marked by them emotionally, Lord. They carry wounds that maybe are not visible on the outside, but they certainly are very real. We're praying for healing right now, Lord. We're praying that you would sustain them. We're praying for marriages of law enforcement, Lord, that you would help them to love and forgive one another, that you bring them through. We're praying for the kids of these men and women, Lord, that you would strengthen them and support them. We're praying, God, wherever they are found today, that they would be the safest law enforcement officers in all of the U.S., Lord, that they would find that they are find joy in the job, and that it is a pleasure to serve within this county. We pray a blessing upon them, on every single officer, on their families, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would thank you for giving them to us, and that you would strengthen and support them and continue to watch over them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, we are going to continue our series called Habits. And if I get somebody to flip a light on, that way I get to see your faces, which is always my preference, that would be awesome. We started this series last week. It's appropriate that we're talking about this at the beginning of the year, because habits are all about how we are going to, in our life, either get where we want to go or we sort of stay where we are right now. Our life is actually made up of habits, even if we don't realize it. Every single day, the majority of what we do, we don't even make conscious decisions about it because it's something that we've done over and over again. And I wanted to start this year with this series because I want this church and I want you to know and understand that you are called, if you are a Christ follower, you are called to grow and to change, and that Jesus is on the side of your life actually being different in 2022. And I think that in the world right now, there is a general sense of kind of fatigue, of emotional sort of like just giving up, like I don't know what the point is. Everyone is so overwhelmed with everything that has happened that many times at the beginning of the year, certainly this year, many people are just saying, what's the point? I'm just going to try to get through 2022. Well, I want to tell you, in this church, in this place, in this house, the people of God are not going to have, we're not going to carry that kind of I'm going to give up. We're going to believe and we're going to walk into 2022 expecting and anticipating that God is actually going to do some things in our lives. That this year, our marriages are going to grow stronger, that our relationships with our kids are going to move forward, that we're going to see our finances come into order, that we're going to see some habits that are destructive being broken off of our lives. Why? Because we serve a God who is a God of growth and change. That when we are when we have Christ in our lives, the scripture says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so I want to tell you this year, don't go into this year just thinking, oh, right, whatever. I'm just going to make it through this year. It's a forget it. No. I want you actually to anticipate something different. I want you to reach out this year for something different. I don't want you just to sort of say, this is going to have to be a repeat. I want you to begin to believe and have a vision right now that in your house, in your family, in your finances, in your relationships, in your life, that God's going to do some different things. That it's not just going to be the same. That some of the generational stuff that you inherited, that you got from your parents, or your grandparents, or whatever, that this year, this is going to be the last year that you're going to have to fall into that. You're going to say, no, this far, no further. We're going to do something different this year. By the grace and power of Jesus, we're going to walk into a new way. And so at the beginning of 2022, I want you to say, yes, God, what do you want to do in my life? I'm actually going to reach out for something new. Do you know that actually Jesus is in the business of making all things new? That's what the scripture says, both in Old Testament and New Testament, that he's actually making all things new. And so what is it in your life that needs to be changed or renewed in this year? Maybe it is something in your marriage. Maybe it is something in your personal life. Maybe it's in your relationship with Jesus that needs to even start or be renewed in a fresh way. Maybe you want to grow and learn something new. Maybe it's a new skill. Maybe it's getting some things into order in your house. Whatever it is, I want to loan you a little bit of faith that this year is going to be different, that this year you're going to actually reach out and you're going to hit some marks. You're going to grow. You're going to go further. And that's why we're talking about this series. And it's called, of course, habits, because that's really makes the difference in our life. And we all know that change is not easy. Anyone? Change is one of the more difficult things that we can face in our life. But it's not impossible, and that your future self, that at the end of 2022, you can actually be better than how you are right now. I mean, I know you guys are pretty great, but there's some better things that can happen this year, and you're going to walk out differently. And so what we've been looking at last week and this week is we're looking at the power of small habits and small changes. We're going to talk in the coming weeks about how to break some habits. We're going to talk about some specific habits that will help you make room for your spiritual life, for God in your life, because he really is the one that can change things. And as we spend time becoming more like him, that is the true winning secret sauce right there. We're going to talk about how, as a church, if we begin to cooperate together and practice some spiritual habits, we'll become a life-giving, community-changing force in a way that we haven't seen before. Now, I want to say thanks for this series. A lot of the material comes from Pastor Craig Groeschel, and I laughed this week because someone texted me after the message last Sunday, and they said, man, your points sounded really similar to the points from Rich Johnson at Glad Tidings Church this last Sunday. Well, it just so happens we're in the same series. We're borrowing from the same material, so thanks to Pastor Craig for all that good stuff. So don't go to GTC this week because you're just going to hear the same message, okay? And he might do it better. He might do it better than me. I don't know. Now listen, when you woke up, think about your life for a second. I know something about your life. Maybe you don't think I know it, but I do know it. When you woke up the last time, the last work day that you had, maybe it was Thursday, Friday, maybe it was even yesterday, I know that the things that you did were pretty similar to the things that you did the day before, right? I know that you woke up, you might have hit the snooze button, you grabbed your phone, you maybe started to go through Instagram, you began to do your morning routine, maybe you got your coffee, you did your business in the restroom, room, you got ready, all the good stuff, right? You got out into your car, you got into the car, you drove to work, probably exactly the same way you drove to work the day before, and that you drove to work the day before that, and last week and all that. You went to work, you worked with probably the same people, typically, that you worked with the day before and the week before, and you tend to do the same kind of things that you had done the day before and the week before, and you kind of got through that, and you ate lunch, probably pretty similar lunch to what had happened last time, and then you got through the rest of the work day, and you finished work, and you drove home, and if you got little kids, you got them in the bath, or maybe you went and hid while your spouse got them in the bath and acted like you didn't know what was going on, and you ate dinner, and then you crashed on the couch to watch a show, and if you're married, you looked over at your spouse, and you kind of looked at him, gave him that look, you know, kind of wink, and they told you, no, it's not Wednesday, don't worry about it, not going to happen today, right? And then you went to bed. I mean, that's pretty much kind of the routine that we all tend to have in our lives. And this is what I want you to write down, and I want to encourage you right now, if you haven't done it already, go ahead and pull out your notes. There's some blank sheets of paper in the seats in front of you. We're a church where we take notes, or we act like we take notes. Okay, so do me a favor. Grab a piece of paper or open up your YouVersion app, the Bible app, and if you go to the More tab and you go to Events, you'll find that all of these notes are right there. And the reason I want you to take notes and particularly write them down is because you remember more. It does something, it engages you. You'll remember 40, 50, 60% more of what is said. And I want to tell you what I'm going to say today is some good stuff. It's important stuff. It's life-changing stuff. But if you just listen to it and you don't apply it, it's not going to do anything. So this is what I want you to write down. All right? You with me? All right. Write this down. Much of what you normally do isn't a result of conscious choices, but a result of daily habits. Much of what you do isn't a result of conscious choices, but of daily habits. The truth is, according to one study from Duke University, that fully 40% of the things that you do every day is simply a habit, and it's not actually a conscious choice, right? I know that. When I get up in the morning, I get up, and I go to the coffee machine, and I have communion with the coffee machine, and the thing that happens right there, I don't think about. There's not a lot of conscious decisions that go into it, right? That just happens, because it happened yesterday and the day before, and my body is trained, and I don't even think about it. And as a matter of fact, if I don't think about it, the coffee gets made, right? You ever driven home from work or driven to work, and you get into the drive, park the car, and you realize, I don't remember how I got here. Right? Right? Because so much of what we do is just, it's not the result of an actual conscious choice. It's a routine. It's a habit that we have trained ourselves to do. Now, the fact is, if you want to change your life, you have to change your routines. You have to change your habits. And the difference maker is not the goals that you set. All of us, we talked about this last week, all of us really have similar goals in life. All of us want better marriages. We want to have better control of our finances. We want to have better relationships. We want to learn more. All of us have similar goals, but the reality is that we have different results, because the difference maker is what we do with our life, what we do with our choices. We try to change many times, but when we don't discover, when we don't find that change is happening fast enough, we make the mistake of thinking that small choices actually don't make a difference in our life. But the reality is that our life is the sum total of the small decisions that we make every day. I think I even put that up on the screen. Is that up on the screen? Yeah, our life is the sum total of the small decisions that we make every day. And this is what I believe. I believe that we tend to underestimate the impact of small choices that we make every day, and we overestimate the importance of these singular big decisions that happen once a year or once every couple of years. And we tend to think, man, when that big decision, when my moment comes, when my ship comes in, when that crucial time comes, that's what's going to really make a difference in my life. But the truth is it is the small choices that you make every day, it's the 100 small decisions that you make every day that actually make the difference in the kind of person that you are becoming, and the person that you are, in your identity, in your character, in where you're going in your life. Because goals don't determine success. systems actually determine success. When we're talking about habits, we're talking about systems, we're talking about going a different direction. And the reality is that successful people, it's kind of a review of last week, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. We all have the same goals, but people that are the difference makers, they just keep at it. They keep doing the things that they need to do. I have found it's pretty easy to go to the gym one time, maybe two times. But if I want to look like those gym freaks in there, right, I'm going to have to go a whole lot more than one or two times. I'm going to have to go consistently. It does not that I have to go out. You know, I don't have to go for 3 hours every day. If I just went 20 minutes three times a week, my life would be completely different, physically speaking, just by the consistent habit, the system of being doing something different in my life. And the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Daniel's a character we talked about last week, you'll find a man who rose to the top in his nation. It wasn't actually his nation. He was an expatriate. He'd been taken from Israel, from Jerusalem, had been exiled to a land called Babylon. And something was different about Daniel because of the systems in his life, the habits that he built in his life. They actually caused him to rise to the very top of this entire nation. The king of the nation recognized Daniel and actually says in verse 4 of chapter 7 that Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I mean, obviously Daniel was a special guy. When the king looked at him, he saw someone that had the spirit of excellence on him. He saw someone that was disciplined. He saw someone that was wise. He saw someone that was different. And the reality is that there was something that Daniel had done consistently that caused the king to plan to promote him. And you might already know the answer to that question, but the reality is that it, before Daniel ever went to the lion's den, the decision was already made about what the outcome would be because Daniel had built a system in his life. But before we get to the system, let me just tell you a little bit the rest of the story in case you're not familiar with it. Because even as the king was planning to promote Daniel, there was a group of people who were jealous of him. And isn't that true that's what happens when people begin to find success, when they begin to make change in their life? You may have experienced that. You might have some special friends that every time you make a move in the right direction in your life, they're telling you, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? You know, I mean, you're just going to be the same. You're going to fail just like you failed last time. Don't you love people like that? Aren't they just so wonderful? They're like whispering, and you know, they're terrible, right? But every time people are successful, they're moving their life in the right direction, they see something happen, there's always a spirit, it's really a spirit of the enemy, that is seeking to tear that down. And that's certainly the case with Daniel. There were a group of people who were jealous of his success, and they tried to find a way to destroy him. We find that in verse 3 of chapter 6. It says, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. They were looking for dirt, right? They were looking for skeletons in his closet, anything they could find. But it says they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent, right? And this was a guy who had great integrity. He had set and established himself. He was going to do what he should do and follow the Lord and make sure that he did it in the right way. And when you do that, then you can walk in confidence. One of the scary things about success, whatever level that's at, is that the more successful you are, the more exposure you get. The more people are digging into your past, and they're finding out really what the truth is. And Daniel had lived his life in a way that there was nothing to hide. And so consequently, when they found nothing to hide, they couldn't get any dirt on him, they decided to attack the one thing that really was the difference maker, and that was his faith. And they talked King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king over the land, they talked the king into passing a law, and of course they immediately spoke to the king's pride, and if you talk to somebody's pride, then you're going to convince them sometimes of things that they really don't believe. They told the king, "King, you're the greatest, and one of the ways that you can show that you're the greatest in all the land is let's pass a law that says that no one can pray to any other god but you for 30 days. A very common thing to do in the ancient world was to decide that the ruler, the king, was actually a god, a deity. So he did. He passed the law. They passed it specifically because they knew that Daniel had a system in his life where he was going to violate this rule, because Daniel was going to pray to his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the universe, and he wasn't not going to pray. Why? Because we see it in verse 10. We saw that Daniel had become someone because of the things that he had done over and over and over again in his life. This is what it says in verse 10. It says, "When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God." And look at this phrase, "just as he had done before." And what's fascinating about this is that Daniel didn't decide to pray when things went bad, right? He wasn't, "Oh man, now I got to pray. Because now that the laws have passed, some things are happening. I don't agree with. Now I'm going to pray." No. Daniel decided to pray just as he had done before. And this was the difference maker for Daniel, is that he had developed one small habit of every day, three times a day, he was going to make time for his God. He was going to meet with the God of the universe. He was going to take time and to get on his knees, and he was going to pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and make sure that his relationship with the King of the universe, was always first in his life. And when he did that, that changed everything in his life. It wasn't because he did it once. It was because little by little, day in and day out, he built a habit in his life. He built a system in his life. "I'm going to put God first. I'm going to demonstrate that God is first by praying three times a day. Every time I eat, then I'm going to go pray. And I'm going to do that and systematically." And he became a different kind of person, a person of excellence, a person who was able to be recognized by the king, who was a secular king, didn't even believe in God, but he saw something different on him. Why? Because Daniel had built a life that was God-fearing, God-honoring, and had become a man of character because of some little decisions that he had made over and over again. I want you to write this down. It's not on the screen, but I think it's important. Never underestimate how God can do something big through one small habit. Never underestimate what God can do with one small habit that honors him. Small habits are powerful. I remember my grandfather, when I was a kid, one of my favorite things was to go to his house. And in the corner of one of his rooms, he had one of those 5-gallon, it was glass at that point, one of the 5-gallon water containers, right? And he every day would come home, and his habit was every single day when he came home from the office, he would empty his change into the 5-gallon jar, right? And I remember just looking at all of the change in that and imagining, you know, that somehow I could stick my hand in there and take some of that change, but I couldn't because the funnel was too small. But I watched that over the years fill up, and pretty soon he had filled one up, and then he had filled another one up, and yeah, it wasn't instant. It took time. I mean, it's not like you fill one of those up in a day. I mean, I don't know how much change he had in his pocket, but I would imagine day one, put the change in, looks like hardly anything. Day two, hardly anything. Day three, hardly anything. Day 10, gosh, I mean, how long is this going to take to fill up? But little by little, that habit eventually resulted in that entire jar being filled up with change. I looked up how many pennies could fit in a 5-gallon jar. Anybody want to take a guess? It's about 38,000. And that would weigh about 210 pounds. And boy, I know it was heavy because I tried to lift it up and take it home with me one time, but it didn't work very good. But that his change habit resulted in hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of change that he just built up over the years, one small thing, one small change that resulted in something. You know, if you make a decision to eat one less cookie a day, right? I mean, I don't know what your cookie habit is, but if you eat one less cookie a day, it's not going to really do much in a week. It's probably not going to do much even in a month, but I tell you what, in a year, it's going to make a significant difference. Or if you decide to eat one more cookie a day, right? I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's 60 calories, 200 calories, what it is. After a little while, you can't, I mean, that's just going to add up. You may not see it immediately. You may not see it for a while, but you go a year down the road, 2 years down the road, suddenly you see somebody that looks way different because of that one cookie, that one small change. If you decide to read, imagine this, if you decide to read one, maybe you don't have a habit of reading the Bible, one verse a day. And, you know, sometimes we think, I got to read the whole Bible, and I got to read a chapter, and you just get overwhelmed. But what if you just developed a habit of reading one verse a day, or one chapter a day, and suddenly you discover a year from now, imagine how much scripture now you have in you. You're starting to hide God's word in your heart because you just made a decision. I'm going to do something. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to begin to grow one small change at a time. I love the Spanish proverb that says, habits are first cobwebs, then cables. At first, they're just so easy to change. Habits are so weak at the beginning, right? You say, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna build a habit, and it's all just the tiniest sliver of thread that's holding this thing together. But if you keep doing it day after day after day, that habit actually becomes a chain. It becomes something that controls you rather than you controlling it. And that coffee that I make in the morning, I don't tell myself to make coffee. Myself tells me to make coffee, right? My body says, coffee, get it to me. You know, I mean, and I don't have a conversation. It's over. Why? There's now a chain that is connected from me to my coffee machine because of a repeated small habit day after day after day. The question is, what do you want to be chained to in your life? And that works for good habits. It works for bad habits. It's so critical for us to understand the importance of small changes because these small habits are actually, they result in the kind of person that you are. Right? If I have anything good, anything successful in my life as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, I really know it's because of small decisions that I have made over and over again to say I'm sorry to my wife because I was stupid again, right? To say, sorry, kids, I really shouldn't have gotten that excited about that thing. It wasn't that big of a deal to get back down on my knees, to keep showing up to work, to keep opening up my Bible, whatever it is, these little choices, not that you ever do it perfect. It's not that I haven't always hit it every single day, but you keep getting back up again. You keep making those small changes, those small choices towards the goal, and you'll find suddenly that you become a different person. You become the kind of person that you're looking to be, a God-honoring, God-loving person. When I made the decision early on in my life, because my parents taught me to tithe, they taught me to give 10% back to the Lord of every check or payment that I ever received for work. And when you're little, you know, when you're getting paid whatever it was, you know, 50 cents, it was a nickel, it wasn't that big of a deal, right? But over the years, I just decided, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put God first in everything and first in my finances. And it became something where I no longer think about it. Now, the amounts have changed significantly, thank God. They're paying me a little bit more than they used to. But that there's just that decision to put God first in everything is something that has been foundational for my finances. It's been foundational in our marriage. We decided, my wife and I, we're gonna do this. We're gonna make sure that we put God first in everything. We're gonna make sure that we seek His face, that our family is centered around Him. That's why I force my kids to come to church on Sunday. Doesn't matter if they're teenagers or not, they don't have a choice. They just know, I gotta be in church. Why? Because we're making a decision. This is what our life is about. These are small decisions that are important for everything. There's actually a concept called keystone habits, and keystone habits are habits in your life that actually encourage other good habits in your life. Flossing is one of those, believe it or not. How many of you, not like flossing like the dance, but flossing your teeth, right? I don't know the move. That's why I kind of stopped. Some of you floss. How many of you floss? I'm just curious. Yeah, I hate flossing. All right, I hate flossing. I went to the dentist recently, and I didn't want to tell my wife this, but the dentist looked at, or the hygienist looked at my teeth and said, "Man, your teeth look really good. You must be a regular flosser." And I said, "No, I haven't flossed all year long. Praise God. That's just the blessing of God on my teeth." But if you floss, the point is, that's not the point. The point, as a keystone habit, if you floss, what they found is that says that habit promotes other good hygiene habits. And it says, you say to yourself, I'm a person who cares for myself. I'm a person who cares for my mouth and my teeth. And it actually begins to build other healthy habits around it. Another one is making your bed in the morning. It's a keystone habit. Because if you make your bed in the morning, then what it says is you've accomplished something today. Right, that you can actually do something, that I'm not a failure, I'm a success, I made my bed, right? It's really true because it gets you started off in the right direction and it encourages other kinds of healthy activities in your life. Eating a meal together as a family every day is a keystone habit. Because as a keystone habit, it's not just about eating healthy, you know, eating together. What you're doing also is you're creating a space for a relationship. And you can have conversations around the table, and it fills up emotional needs, and you find you can care for one another, and it helps build a healthier family life. And so these habits, these little things, we can't underestimate the power of some of these healthy keystone habits and these healthy habits in our life, because they truly do make a difference. Small changes, even though they're very small, done over a period of time, they begin to change who you are. They have the power to change your life, your identity, your marriage, your relationships, your finances, all of these things, little by little, but it all starts with a daily habit. Daniel rose to the top, not because he had one encounter with God, but he began instead daily to spend time with the Master, one day at a time, one day at a time. And suddenly you become, after you look back, a different kind of person, because it's really about who you want to become. It's not just about what you're trying to do. It's not just about your goal. It's about who you want to be. And let me give you some answers. Do you want to be, or some examples. Want to become someone who cares? Then maybe just write one note of appreciation every day. One thank you note. Not five, not ten. Just you say, I'm going to begin to be a thankful person. So I'm going to write one note. Or maybe you want to be a person that's more organized, right? So you just decide, every day I'm going to make my bed. You want to be a person that is not always late to work? You decide you're not going to hit the snooze button anymore. You're just going to get out of bed, right? You want to be a godly example for your teen in your house? Then you say, well, let's read a reading together. Let's get the Bible app out, and let's get one of those Bible plans together. We're going to read it together. We're going to ask each other about it. We're going to keep each other accountable. You want to become a person that's focused? Well, then start your day out by writing three priorities for your day. These are little things, right? You want to become a person that's healthier? Well, then stop drinking soda. That'll change your life. Change your blood sugar, change your waistline, change your health. All right, so let me give you quickly how to create a new habit. How do you create a new habit? How do you do this? Write that down, how to create a new habit. Well, you have to create a system. If you want to create a habit, you want to create a system, you might say, I don't have systems. Well, I just say, no, you're a liar. The systems that you have in your life have resulted in exactly where you're at right now. All of us have systems, right? So some of our systems are wake up late, put our makeup on in the car, yell at the kids, get in the car, we got to be late for school, gripe about work all day long, and then feel guilty at the end of the day. Some of us, that's our systems, right? It is a system. It is a habit. It's the way that you've done your life. The reality is that you have to make, by intention, a difference, a change in the systems in your life and the things that you're doing, because if not, you will just default to the way that things are right now in your life. Let me show you just a picture here of something called the habit loop, because we're talking about how to build habits, how to change habits in our life. This is what is true about you, about any habit that you have in your life, good or bad. Every habit begins with a trigger. That's the reminder that signals us to begin the routine. The trigger for me for coffee in the morning is when I wake up. Boom, I'm awake. Where do I go? I go to the coffee machine. That's the way it works. Now, that is the routine. The coffee machine itself is the routine that I do. I make that coffee, I grind it, put it in there, put water in there, yada, yada. That's routine. And then there's the reward. The reward is the positive feedback that closes the loop. Oh, that first cup of coffee. Hallelujah. Thank God for coffee. It's so wonderful. It is a reward every day, which is why I continue to do it, right? That's why the next day I'm going to wake up, get that coffee again, get that reward. And that becomes a reinforcing cycle for your habits. One of the keys for building good habits in your life is figuring out how to build a cycle that has rewards in it. And many times what we'll try to do is we'll just try to grit our teeth to do something that we know we need to do to get a goal that we want to get to, but because it's not built around any kind of systems, routines, or rewards, we fail even before we start. So how do we not fail? Number one, this is the first thing you do if you want to start a new habit. You make it obvious. You make it obvious. When you go to the grocery store makes it very obvious the things that they want you to buy. Right, they put them on the ends, on the capstones. They put them right at your eye level. All the sugary, sweet junk foods that they make the most money on, they make them really easy to access, and they put them right where you can see them. Right, that's why I never go to the store. I try not to. My wife certainly doesn't like it when I come to the store hungry with her, because I end up with all this stuff that's just so readily available, just so easy, and it ends up in the cart when it doesn't need to be in the cart because they make it obvious. And the problem is that you tend to buy, if you go buy based on what your eyes tell you, you'll tend to buy what is obvious and easy, not what is best. And what we have to do when it comes to making changes in our life, little changes, is we want to change what we do, but make it obvious by changing what you see. So put it in front of you, make it obvious so that you're not blind to it. For example, if you need to take vitamins, the night before, take them out of the drawer and put them on the counter. So that way you will see them, right? It's obvious, you can't miss them. If you just leave them in the drawer, you'll forget that they're there. You go on with your normal routine and you'll not eat your vitamins. At the end of the day, you go, I wish I would have done that. I got to remind myself in the morning, just get those vitamins. No, get them out and put them on the counter and put them right in front of you. If you want to become that thankful person and write those thank you notes, if you want to write one thank you note a day, great. First thing you need to do is buy some thank you notes. That's really important. If I were you, I'd get really small thank you notes so that it's very easy, like one sentence, right? So that's, you know, you're not, if they make these big thank you notes, what are you going to put there? Well, I just, you know, thank you, signed Andrew, right? Something small. And then you take the note and the pen and you put it right there on your desk where you're going to see it in the morning and you take care of it. But if you just leave it in the drawer somewhere, you're never going to see it and you're never going to do it. So make it obvious. If you're going to, for example, if you want to read, put the book on your pillow before you leave for the day. You want to read at night. Put it on your pillow. Don't put it next to your bed. Don't put it under your bed. Put it on your pillow so you can't avoid it. We function very obviously in what we see, so you have to do yourself a favor and set yourself up for success and help yourself win by actually putting those things in your way so that you're not going to miss them. If you want to memorize a Bible verse, one of the greatest things that you can do is put it on your mirror, because you know you're going to look in the mirror, right? You're going to spend some time looking in the mirror until things are right, right? And so put your Bible verse right there, and you can't miss it, and it becomes something that becomes obvious. So number one, make it obvious. Number two, make it easy. Make it easy. We don't do ourselves any favors when we make achieving our goals too big, right? We tell ourselves, I'm going to learn how to pray, and I decide tomorrow I'm going to pray for an hour. Not a good idea, guys, if you actually want to learn how to pray regularly. Now, if you pray for 2 minutes, how about that? Now, that's something that maybe you might be able to do. We talked about reading your Bible. You want to build a Bible reading habit, start with reading a Bible verse a day. Or maybe two, or maybe three. Something you can actually do and then begin to build on it. But don't make it so hard that you're going to fail even before you begin. Sometimes, you know, we need to journal. Journaling is a good habit. That's not an easy habit for me to do, at least. But what I'll do is I'll think journaling means I'm going to have to write paragraphs of information about my day and what I'm thinking. How about you just write one sentence every day, and suddenly you'll discover you can journal. Right? So make it simple, make it easy. The truth is that many people think they lack motivation, but what they really lack is a system. Right? You just lack a system that builds something around it. If you want to begin, for example, to do push-ups, try this. If you have a Netflix habit, tell yourself, I'm not going to watch the next episode until I do 10 push-ups. My reward is the episode, right? My reward is the episode. You need a reward, right? Pastor Candace, one of the things that she does a lot of times is she'll say, I will not touch any social media. And she's good at social media. She loves it. She uses it. She says, I won't touch any social media until I've read my Bible. And that's the social media is a reward. It's a good thing. But the she needs to build something in there that becomes a trigger. Well, you want to do social media? Well, I haven't done my Bible. Well, I got to do my Bible, right? So I've got to take care of that. So build something in there that actually motivates you to move in the direction that you need to move. If you're not reaching your goals, the issue is not that you have bad goals. Probably the issue is that you have a bad system. And so we need to start adjusting the routines of our life. Start tweaking the routines of our life so that we can begin to be different. Now, the reality is that goals in and of itself, that's not everything. Goals usually, they're good, but have you noticed that every time you get to a goal, what do you do after that? You got to set another goal. And so you're always like setting goals and achieving the goals and setting the goals. The reality is that you want to kind of change your mentality from trying to achieve goals to becoming a different kind of person, to actually growing into a new person. So then when you begin to measure success in a different way, I want to encourage you, the way to measure your success is to compare yourself to Jesus Christ and how we're becoming more and more like him. It's not whether or not you hit your goal. It's whether or not I'm becoming more and more like him. I'm saying yes to him more and more. I'm saying no to the things that he wants me to say no to. I'm saying yes to the things that he wants me to say yes to. And then we find that if today I have said yes to the Lord, I have done things that honored him, then I can measure myself as being successful, right? It's not just about some goal that I'm trying to attain. My goal is actually to be more like Christ. And as we become more like Christ, we'll discover we become people of integrity. Become people of honor, people who speak the truth, people who are loving, people who are kind. That's the kind of person I want to be. Isn't that the kind of person you want to be? A person who is recognized by others, even if they don't know the Lord, even if they don't respect him. Like Daniel was seen, here's somebody who has a spirit of excellence on them. There's somebody that's different. They've done life different. Why? Because little by little, they have measured their success in terms of their relationship with the Lord. Write this down. This is one of the last things I want you to write down. This is how you create a system. I will do blank after I blank. Very, very simple, very simple. I will do blank after I blank. That's that trigger and reward. That's that routine and reward we're talking about. I will eat a cookie after I exercise for 20 minutes. I'm not sure that's actually a good system, but that's the idea, right? We'll talk about this in a couple of weeks. One of these habits of no screens before scripture. Scripture before screens. That means, right? And so then I will not view screens, phones, TV, computer, nothing until I've had my scripture time, right? So that's a system. Suddenly now you've built a system. And you begin to see that there's something that is going to be required of you in case if you want to go to that direction, and you begin to repeat it over and again. After I make coffee, I'm going to read one Bible verse or read my scriptures. After I put my kids to bed, I'm going to do a plank for 30 seconds. Plank's an exercise, by the way, just in case you need. All right. After I brush my teeth, then I'm going to journal one sentence. After I journal one sentence, I'm gonna hold my spouse's hand and thank God. I'm gonna take 5 seconds and pray with them in that moment. Thank God. So there's always an if then. It's a I will do this after I do this. You begin to do that, you'll see change. And I want to remind you, never underestimate the power of little changes. This is what Zechariah 4:10 says. It says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." He rejoices when you say, I'm going to be more like him. I'm going to begin a different kind of habit, a different kind of routine. I'm not going to keep repeating the same old over and over again. I'm going to get my finances in order. I'm going to say no to myself. I'm going to say no to the purchase. I'm going to say no to the things that might make me feel good, but I know they're not actually going to take me in the direction I want to go. The Lord rejoices in those small beginnings. He says, don't despise those little things because they actually result in powerful change. Let me leave you with this verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Boy, we're all familiar with the old way of life. We're all familiar with the things that they just keep grabbing onto us. It's almost like we're trying to escape these old patterns, these old routines. We're trying to escape the lust of the flesh, the things that we want to do and see, and we're trying to get away. And Paul says, throw them off. Don't just keep giving into them. Don't just keep saying yes to them. Don't just keep agreeing with them. Actually get in some motion. He says, throw them off, and instead let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. One of the greatest things is that this is not something we're doing by ourselves. This is not something that we're just trying to be better. We're just deciding we can do something. No, we're actually agreeing. We have the most powerful person in the entire universe, the Holy Spirit, God himself, that is cooperating with us, that is desiring us to be different. He's giving us the power to be new. He says he's going to renew your thoughts and attitudes. So it says, put on your new nature. You're created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. When you make those little decisions to get into God's word, those little decisions to press into prayer and to grow in that area, those little decisions to tell the truth, even when it's difficult, those little decisions to restrict yourself and your monies because you know that decision is not going. When you do those types of things, you're actually putting on that which is what the Lord wants in your life. You're putting on this new thing that he wants to do. And God says, I'm with you. I'm here to help you in that. I want to see you be changed. I want to see you be different. I want to see your marriage grow. I want to see your relationships be beautiful. I want to see your finances be in order. I want to see you go to another level where you understand the way that I've made you and the gifts that I've given you. And then I'm actually going to take your hand. I'm going to take you to a place that you haven't. What I've got for you is better than what you could even imagine. But it requires us to throw off the old thing and to put on the new thing. In 2022, I want to encourage you, let's put on something new. Let's put on some things that are going to begin to have the power to change us. And it might just be a small change. Don't underestimate what God can do with a small change. Make a decision. I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn. I'm going to go to a new place. I'm not going to just put up with the old anymore. I'm actually going to reach out for something new. Church, that's who God has called you to be in 2022. Would you stand to your feet? Let me pray for you. What's that one thing that you need to start? That one thing, it needs to be simple, it needs to be obvious, but what's that one thing that you can begin to put into your life, to build a system around that's going to take you in the right direction? Just close your eyes if you would for a moment. Just maybe do some business with the Lord in this moment. Maybe it's something that I've said today. The Lord's been whispering to you about a change that you need to make in your life, about an area of growth that you know you need to reach out for. Maybe it's a thing that he's calling you to, and to deepen your relationship with him, your spiritual walk with him. Maybe it's something in your finances or in your health. Maybe it's something in your relationships. What's that one thing? Just right now, just begin to talk to the Lord about this. Lord, would you help me with that? I've maybe failed before. I've tried before, and it hasn't been successful. But Lord, I'm hearing your voice, and I want to grow. I want to change. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to just miss the opportunities that you have for me. Lord, I just pray right now for every man, woman, and child that's hearing my voice. Lord, you're God of the new. You're God of change. You're God of transformation. You're God who gives hope and a vision. You're making all things new is what the scripture says. And Lord, we want to be made new. We want to grow. We want to change. But we find it so difficult. And so we're asking you, God, would you help us? Would you help us say yes to you? Would you help us throw off the old things and put on the new things? Would you empower us by your Holy Spirit to reach out for the new thing that you have for us? We're asking you this right now. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for one more group. If you just keep your heads bowed just for one more second. If you're here and it's a new year, this is a wonderful time to make a decision to go into the new year with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with him, if you haven't given up everything to him, having a relationship with Christ is not just having him as your friend. It's actually having him as your King and your Lord. It's saying, Jesus, your way is my way. whatever you want is what I want. I'm giving up the way that I've done before. I've tried it my own way, but I recognize all of that never works. You're the only one that I can ever have hope in. And so I'm reaching out to you today, and I'm giving you everything. If you need to make that decision today, I want to pray for you. You need to go into 2022 with Jesus. Would you just raise your hand to make that decision? You're just saying, Lord, I'm going in with you this year. I'm making that decision this year. I'm asking that you would cover me, that you'd forgive me of my sin, that you would wash me. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything, Lord, because I've tried it my way and it doesn't work. So I'm going your way. Lord, I pray for those that are making that decision right now. We pray as a church, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that you'd make them new. Lord, that as they reach out for you today in 2022, they have now opened the door for something new and powerful in their life. And Lord, we just pray a blessing on them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.